Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The NFL season has officially begun. And with that, of course, we are sure at some point we may find a rant from perhaps Richard Sherman again about the greatness of who is the greatest cornerback in the NFL. If not that, at least he may have an opinion about whether or not he should be respected in that. It's all a part of the fun, and it is a part of our society that looks for such things. We want to know who's the greatest, who's going to get to that category in the game show where, yes, they go home with not just what's behind curtain number three, but the grand prize as well. Or maybe they're going to be one of those who does the impossible. And with two letters on the board for Wheel of Fortune, somehow they with they are able to guess out of pure air and get the right answer. I mean, we look for this stuff. This is a part of who we are. It's not surprising that the disciples were talking about precisely this. Now, of course, it's important to know who and by what standard these things are judged. Now, I can tell you that I am the greatest pastor who has ever served here in the last 10 months. It makes as much sense, right? As it is, we want to know what's the greatest in these things. For instance, I happen to know that White Christmas is, according to the 2009 edition of Guinness Book of Records, that the recording of White Christmas by Bing Crosby is the best-selling single of all time, with estimated in sales in excess of 100 million copies. Beyond that, other versions, over 500 of them, have sold along with Bing's, have sold over 150. Million and copies. Is it the greatest? I don't know. I happen to, be a sucker at times for these things. I'm walking through the drugstore, and there's that CD that says the greatest music of all time, and $5. And sure enough, I look at the back and I think, well, that's great, but what about this piece? And why isn't this piece here? And how did they come to this? Let's not pretend that being great is not a good thing. It is. We need to celebrate greatness when it comes. Great things have been done. Today, if you come back at 3 o'clock, you are going to hear great music. It has been written down by someone with a great deal of intellect. And out of their learning and their experience and their heart, they somehow pull this music out of their what they hear going on inside their heads and write it down on paper. And someone has been able to design an instrument in such a way that's able to play these things. And someone else is here in our fair city who, after years of accumulating the skill to play this, has also dedicated hours of practice to play this great music and make it sound simple. It's going to be wonderful. and not just in the arts, but also in the things like the invention of penicillin or the ability to make things that make a difference in our lives, and perhaps even more crucial than things like smartphones. You know, I'm still plowing through the story of the Wright brothers. These two guys and their sister, actually, who worked in this quiet way, looking and thinking about the challenges they might face even before they got there, and were able to do this in such a way that in only a number of years from when they started, they had beaten the problem of controlled flight. It's amazing. These things are to be celebrated, and we as Christians should not shrink from doing these things, of saying, how can I do my very best in what I am called to do? For what we do on a day-by-day basis makes the world a better place. And if that's the case, do we just say, oh, well, good enough for government work? Or do we say to ourselves things like, oh, it'll do? Should we strive for something better? I would hope so. But on the other side of the coin, you know, we sometimes fall off on the other side of the horse on this thing. I remember a concert by a young and Christian artist, and someone came up to congratulate them and thank them for their work. And the guy said, no, it wasn't me at all. I just let Jesus sing through me. And the person who came to congratulate him said, well, it wasn't that good. Or maybe it's the town who decided to give an award for humility, and they thought, who's the most humble and citizen in our community? And they decided Ole was the one to get it. And so sure enough, they give the award for humility to Ole. But when he wore it to town the next day, they took it back. You know, we can do this to get caught up in asking the question and comparing ourselves to one another. And who's the greatest? Who's the least? What's this? How do we rank ourselves according to this? It's a little bit like when I was a kid. And I and a whole lot of other kids in Seattle would take any old board and cut it up so that it sort of looked like a hydroplane, stuck a tail of some sort on the thing, tied it to the back of our bikes, and we would have hydroplane races. It was exciting as anything that you'd see at a Mariners game. Sure enough, to say that that was a legitimate race in comparison to the real thing, I don't think so. So here are these disciples having a debate among themselves about who's the greatest, when they had been in the presence of one who had healed people and raised people from the dead and fed 5,000 at one time with a few fish and some loaves of bread. And yet they were in this battle. Who's the greatest? They missed it. The point is that Jesus said when he gave again this particular prophecy that he would be put to death and be raised again after three days, they did not understand that he was talking about them too. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to expect some surprises. I'm pleased to say that the chances that any of us are going to be tested for our faith in such a way as this are almost slim and none. But we know that there are places in the world where this takes place. At least for all of us, we may be confronted by a place where we are going to have to put ourselves back in such a way that we continue to serve. So Jesus takes this little child and puts it in front of them and wraps his arms around the child and says, you want to know what greatness is? You want to be first? You must be last of all and servant of all. This is what it is. If you're going to follow me, you have to follow me. You have to do what I do. You have to be willing to put away these silly arguments and discussions and comparisons and do something important. You need to be willing to do things like helping out at a meal at down at Central. You need to be willing to be around for and women and children who come into our space in October. You need to be willing when you walk through the stores to look for those great deals on school supplies that are still there. This too is what it is to be great. But more importantly, it is what it is to follow Jesus. He calls us to this, he invites us to this, and he reminds us that this is why we exist. Amen.